This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say, what a show it will be, because the Toonami 3-2 on the weekend. What a result that was. Talar West Ham, 3 goals, 3 points. Thank you. Goodbye, West Ham, on the way back to Newcastle. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, aka Ketch, from BBC Match of the Day magazine, and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport, and a very, very special guest indeed. He has returned. We're delighted to have him back in the studio. It is Love Sport's very own legend, Laurie Callis. The next 60 minutes is the Newcastle takeover. It is the Newcastle Fan Show right here at Love Sport HQ. We will be reviewing that game with West Ham on the weekend. 3-2 it was. We're going to be talking a little bit about Newcastle being apparently the second most expensive team to support. Big news, Neil Redfern leaves his position as under-23 manager. And someone else who appears on this show time to time, I think it's Sean Wade, re-elected to some other supporters trust. We can talk about that if we have to, if we need a filler on this show. But it is packed. We maybe have 30 seconds. We can talk a little bit about that. But the big news is, and you're going to want to stay around for this, delighted to say, great work from our very own Ketch on getting Pete Graves. He will be joining us, the Sky Sports News presenter. Cannot wait for that one. 7:30. You are going to want to stick around. You're going to want to do more than that, because you can tweet in your questions, tweet us at Love Sport Radio, or call us 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on that same number. It's not my personal number, but get in touch. We'll read it out either way, and we'll endeavour to get through all of them. Let's start though, because what a feel-good show this is. Ketch, I'm going to start with you. West Ham 3-2, hallelujah.
Well, I didn't see that coming. But the first 50 minutes, wow, I enjoyed that. Never mind Mane, Salah, and Firmino. We got the best front three in the league. It's seriously so exciting to watch. Almiron and St. Maximum, absolute joy to watch, especially when they're playing against four cart horses, you know, who are pulling tractors. West Ham had the slowest defence, and there was a bit of about West Ham, we'll just turn up and this game will take care of itself. And I just think they got the shock of their life, and it was just fantastic to watch St. Maximum bombing on, Almiron getting forward, and Joe Linton occupying the two centre-halves. I thought they worked together as a unit, and I'm really excited to see more from these three going forward.
Yeah, I have to fully admit with you, Ketch, that first 45 minutes, probably the best 45 we've seen from Newcastle, definitely this season in a long, long time. Fantastic football. Could have scored more goals, could have really put West Ham to bed, but the damage was done. But West Ham, five matches they hadn't had a win, Laurie. Perfect time to be playing them.
What perfect time for them to be playing us, or what do you mean? Yeah, I mean, it should have been. They were at home, you know. It's West Ham and Everton, and these sort of teams just seem to not be able to perform when they're expected to perform. It's season after season, like, it's going to be the season where they're going to be, you know, pushing into the top eight or whatever, and it never seems to happen. Obviously, Everton are doing even worse than West Ham this year, but I don't want to go in with a bad mentality, because we scored three goals and we did look really dangerous. Could have been five or six, really could have been. But why are we so inconsistent? That's what I don't understand. It's like, if we're going to go away and put in performances like that, why are we not making St. James's Park a fortress? Why are we not being tough to beat at home? I don't know. It's just so frustrating, because as much as it's really great to see us play so well, and I'm not going to deny that, and I'm always going to enjoy it when we're 3-0 up, because who wouldn't? But there has to be some level of consistency, and it's got to be come down to the manager for that for me, because, you know, if we're being drilled to play in a certain way, what is being done differently in these games when we've got underwhelming 1-1 draws?
Mm. Well, London seems to be a very happy hunting ground for Newcastle. I mean, 4 games in London, 3 wins. Let's forget the Chelsea game. They've got the 3 points against West Ham. Were you surprised, Darren, because Shelvey, Hayden restored to the lineup, no Longstaff brothers. Was this a change you saw coming? And before the game, was you a little bit like, ooh, what's going on here?
I'll admit I was, but when I saw Shelvey coming back in, I didn't expect that. What I've sort of seen Bruce recently is that he's not scared to mix it up, you know. Shelvey's obviously came back in. Matty Longstaff, who's been fantastic, thrown into the mix, you know, suddenly dropped, you know, through no fault of his own. You know, Dummett still isn't back. And, I mean, Dummett for the last 3-4 years has been, like, one of the first names on the team sheet. So Bruce obviously isn't scared to mix it up and change it up. And I think whereas with Benitez, you sort of knew roughly what his lineup was going to be. You know, Clark's getting a bit more of a shout than Bruce. The midfield's getting mixed up. So, yeah, I was a little bit shocked before kickoff, and a little bit disappointed that Shelby's back in. And obviously, he's turned up and put a performance in, which is what he needs to do if he wants to stay in this team long term.
With the midfield, do you think that Matty Longstaff getting dropped, do you think the fact that Sean was obviously suspended and kind of the psychology of them playing together and what that means and how, as he's come into the first team, he's been playing alongside Sean, do you think that had something to do with the decision to drop Matty Longstaff and whether the dynamic would be different when he's not playing with a player who he's come through the youth ranks playing with?
Maybe. I think you got to remember Matty Longstaff is so young. He's barely played. He's played against Man United and Chelsea. Could probably do with a break, and it was a wise decision. Plus, Hayden is excellent. We know he is. He was back, and I actually thought it was quite a good midfield. I actually think Matty Longstaff would be an excellent foil for Jonjo Shelvey, because Shelvey needs legs. He needs legs, and Matty Longstaff is just a windscreen wiper. He will do all Shelvey's running. So I was kind of getting a bit annoyed with Shelvey and thinking maybe it's time for a break. Maybe he should go away and on loan or leave the club. I actually would love to see Matty Longstaff and Shelvey alongside each other. There could be a little midfield partnership there, and I bet we see it this season at some point.
Yeah, unbelievably, that was my next note, because I know that you lot have mentioned Shelvey. Ketch, don't believe me, he's giving me a sarcastic remark, but genuinely, when I watched the game, I wanted to talk about that, because I know you lot have spoken on the past, like, Shelvey, you know, he's not consistent. Some days you get it, some days you don't, especially for the 90 minutes, the effort, the graft, the commitment, you know, does he really invest? On Saturday, obviously, he was brilliant, but can he do it week in, week out? And if he does have that perfect foil, we've seen how much energy the Longstaff brothers in. It could be a midfield trio that works. Obviously, Hayden coming back and playing well there. Let's talk about the goals, because obviously, there's not many goals coming from Newcastle at the minute. Obviously, it was three on the weekend, but two defenders and a midfielder scoring. Is that still a worry that players like Almiron can't get off the mark, Ketch? And he had a glorious chance though, didn't he?
Yeah, I, to be honest, I'm not that worried. I think we need to share the goals. So we need our defenders. If our defenders can get into double figures, then that would really help. But I'm honestly not worried. And I mentioned since day one the buzzword, Laurie said it, inconsistency. I think we're going to be inconsistent because our key players are impact players, the likes of Saint-Maximin and Almiron. And there was talk last time I was on the show of putting Dwight Gayle into the team. I don't think Dwight Gayle's the answer. I think given the front three time is the answer. Saint-Maximin, a lot was made of his obviously very explosive and exciting game. The end product, it clearly isn't there. And I was just saying off air to Laurie, I think that's a match fitness thing. I think he bursts into the box. He just hasn't got the legs to apply the finish. I think it'll come, and I want to see more from this front three working together as a unit, building their confidence. Almiron is bound. He's got to score. He has to score soon. I think he could score on the weekend at home to Bournemouth, and Joe Linton to get in the goals. I'm excited by this front three, and I want to see more of them together. I want some kind of partnership to come in.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, I completely agree in terms of Almiron and Saint-Maximin. I'm not completely convinced by Joe Linton. I don't think he's a bad player, and I think he's shown really good qualities. But I saw a video earlier today, and it was, I think it was last season. I can't remember exactly what game it was, but it was that ball in from Kennedy with that bullet header from Rondon. And that sort of centre-forward play is not something that I currently think Joe Linton looks capable of. And is that a problem necessarily, do you think, Aaron, or is it kind of like, are we just having to find a different way to play? Is he, as he's come from Hoffenheim, going to be more of a Firmino style centre forward than a Rondon style?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have said since he came over, you know, they've watched him in Germany and, you know, in you know, previous years, and that he is that type of player. He's not an out and out goal scorer. He is more like a Bobby Firmino type, where he can hold the ball up and link it up very nicely, which we haven't seen enough of this so far this season. It was obviously a bit better on Saturday, but if Joe Linton is going to, you know, be at his best in this team, then you need to get Almiron and Saint-Maximin, one, close to him, which they haven't been this season, and two, they need to then be finishing as well, because if Joe Linton isn't a 15-goal striker, which Rondon was, it doesn't look like he is at the minute, then the goals are going to have to come from somewhere else and not just from the back. And obviously, as Ketch said, we do need to share the goals about, but you know, when Fabian Shaw was our third best goal scorer last season, and you know, he's been scoring again this season, and the defenders are scoring, we need to get the goals from further forward, obviously, and that is a bit of a worry for me at the minute.
Yeah, hopefully Almiron will start scoring. But it was the type of chance that on the weekend, if you'd already got off the mark, those chances you score full of confidence. And then when you're it's a monkey on your back, it's the type of chance you miss easily. And we're talking about it is a talking point. Let's quickly talk about the manager, because he said after the game, it would be nice to receive the same support as his predecessor, Rafa Benitez, after celebrating an important win like that. He wanted the same support from the travelling supporters. What was the kind of reaction on the weekend? And what did you make of those remarks, Kate?
Yeah, well, I was at the game, and what you notice is after the game when we beat Spurs, he didn't really leave the technical area. He had a little bit of applause. He's now edging closer to the away fans. He got halfway towards them, and he was hugging St Maximum, and he's built his confidence up, isn't he? Soon he'll be over there. Maybe the top will be off, and probably taking it too far. But unfortunately for Bruce, he's never going to get the adulation that Rafa got, and that's because of what he stands for. He is... someone who's taken the job because he's not going to give Ashley any trouble, and he's going to do as he's told, and he's going to work to their transfer budget. Rafa, we loved because he came in, he demanded his role be changed from head coach to manager, and he challenged Mike Ashley, and he challenged Mike Ashley to show ambition, which is what we've been crying out for 12 years. So that's why we'll always love Rafa, because he came in and he really tried to genuinely push the club forward. Bruce, unfortunately, isn't going to do that. He knows this is a step up for him, and he's lucky to have the job, and he's going to do what Mike Ashley said. So that's why, that's the difference, basically. And also, his role is a head coach now, and I think that's significant. So even if Bruce, was to perform a miracle and win a trophy, he would be highly acknowledged for that. But I just think there's something about Rafa. He came in, he really tried to make Newcastle a better club, and he challenged Mike Ashley, and not many people have done that. So that's why, unfortunately, it's not going to happen for Bruce if he wants adulation from Newcastle fans at this stage.
As well as the Ashley thing, I think that it is obviously Bruce will not challenge Ashley and Rafa would. I think it's purely just they are in different leagues. Rafa Benitez has won everything there is to win. He generally wanted to take us forward and take us into Europe, and you just don't, Steve Bruce hasn't achieved anywhere near that, and you don't get the feeling that as much as he maybe wants to do well at the club, there's not that drive there. He will probably be happy to sit in that job as long as we're finishing 16th every year, as long as he's keeping us up, whereas with Rafa it was always, we need to be better. So I think that it's a mix of the both.
It's such a key word that Ketch used there, that the title is head coach rather than manager. We're seeing this a lot now. It was a very European thing that's come over to the Premier League. A lot of managers, they're the head coach. They don't have that much in charge. But Laurie, how can Newcastle kick on from there? And will they kick on from this victory? Because, yes, this is maybe a silly stat, but we look at the Premier League table. Newcastle have won the same amount of games as Man United and Spurs this season, and they will feel all very different about their season. And if we can even take it further, they've only won one less than Arsenal, who currently sit in fifth.
Yeah, but there's other ways to look at that. They've also won they've also won one less than Brighton, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, and other teams as well. Who, Man United and Spurs are indisputably below where they should be. Newcastle can't really argue that we are below where we should be. So I don't necessarily buy into that being like a positive thing. That's a case of them underperforming rather than us aspiring to their level. Having said that, in terms of how we can go on going forward, yes, I really hope that we can carry on putting performances together. But as I said at the beginning, and Ketch and Aaron have reiterated, you just never know. Bournemouth in the next game, we could play two completely different ways. We could lose 5-0 or we could win 3-0. And honestly, that's more of an issue than it is a positive for me.
Well, always, Laurie, Mr. Sensible, he's completely right. And it is Bournemouth on the weekend. And delighted to say Peter Rutzler, Bournemouth reporter for The Athletic, will be joining us later to preview that game.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell from BBC Match of the Day magazine, Love Sport's very own Laurie Callis, and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. We were just talking about that brilliant 3 points beating West Ham 3-2. Still to come, we will be joined by Sky Sports presenter Pete Graves. That is coming up in around 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere for that. And Peter Rutzler, Bournemouth reporter for The Athletic, will be joining us to preview the game. Can Newcastle continue this form? Because as Aaron Stokes said, it is 7 points from the last three games. Newcastle going very well there. They're going very well. And let's talk about a select few individuals now, Ketch, because I know you want to. We have to start with the midfield man. He was man of the match on the weekend. And you just can't get enough of him, can you?
Oh, he's just my new favourite player. I mean, it's even his name's brilliant. Like Alan, he's called Alan. He's Saint, which is obviously a godlike. And then Maximum, he just plays football to the absolute maximum. And he is such a Newcastle.
Alan, you've been working on that.
It's obvious, though, isn't it? It's like the football gods have created a player for Newcastle fans. He is exactly what a Newcastle fan would want in a player. And he's putting the graft in to get match fit, and he's exciting to watch. He's bursting through to defences, and I think when he gets off the mark, it's going to be fantastic to watch. But I also like his off the field performance. His social media game is unbelievable. Often you see players in this industry sometimes have teams of people doing their social media. I hope he hasn't got a team of social media people. I hope this is him doing it himself. Like a couple of highlights I've written down. He retweets highlights of himself, so people are posting videos of and he's just retweeting them, which I think is great. Him just running through defences, and then
Shearer, I love that.
Alan Shearer put him in his team of the week, and he went, "Wow, Alan Shearer put me in team of the week." And then a Sunderland fan had a nibble and went, "Oh yeah, but he scored loads of goals and assists." And then St Maximum comes back and says, "Oh, I'd love my first goal to be against your club, but ... You know, you're in League One." So he's trolling the Magums, which we love. And then the last one was he retweeted Chris Woff who shared a video of St Maximum throwing a shirt into the crowd, and he just said, you know, the fans are spending money and hours on the road to support us. I realise what it means. It's absolutely 10 out of 10 PR from Alan.
And earlier he done something with a food bank, didn't he, earlier in the season?
Yeah, he's down the food bank. He's putting videos of him giving homeless people money on the streets. He seems like a great lad, and I just think he's on the verge of becoming a real cult player. If he can chip in with more assists and more goals, I'm sure they'll come, because he's got all his misses out of the way at West Ham. So I'm really enjoying Alan St Maximum.
A Newcastle treasure, it seems, Laurie, on and off the pitch at the minute. The goals and assists will hopefully come, but he doesn't need him because the fans have just fallen in love with him, haven't they?
Yeah, well, he's kind of what he reminds me of, and I think potentially he's a lot of a better player than Adama Traore. But Adama Traore is a classic player who's got that explosive pace. He'll come on, run at teams and just change the game. And up until potentially this season, hasn't really had that much end product. So I'd love to see a lot of end product from St Maximum. And I kind of agree with Ketch. I do think it's coming. It doesn't feel like he gets there and he doesn't know what to do. It feels more like kind of that he is kind of out of legs. The thing with St Maximum, he's got that kind of Ben Arthur flair that Newcastle fans just love. And every time you get a player like that, everyone just adores him. But with that sort of player, you always have that nagging in the back of your mind in a season and a half's time. Is he going to be refusing to train because he's, you know, linked to PSG? And I really hope that there's not that sort of side to him. But also, when you've got a player like that, I think you've got to enjoy them while you have them. He's amazing.
Do you remember when I said about Newcastle have won the same games as Man United and Spurs, and Laurie said, yeah, but you have to look at it from another angle. We're talking about the great man himself, and Laurie said he'll be wanting to move to PSG next. Yeah. Is there potential suspension here, Ketch, for Laurie if he carries on like this?
Yellow card. But yeah, we know the deal. We're a stepping stone club, unfortunately. But let him entertain us and increase his value while he's at it. I don't mind that.
Aaron, we have to bring you in. You enjoying it from afar as well?
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving him, to be fair. Like Laurie said, he is just that Ben Arthur player, and we haven't had a player of that mould. You know, everyone thought Almiron coming in, he was going to be like the new Ben Arthur. It looks like St Maximum's just got a little bit more about him. You've obviously just touched on there about will he still be playing in a season and a half when he's linked away. There was talk when he moved that, you know, he's a little bit of a, you know, his professionalism isn't the best off the field, but he's like an enigma because people are saying that and he's coming here, but then he's doing all the stuff with social media, so you don't really know what to expect from him. You've got to remember he's only 22. So I'm just more than anything intrigued to see what will happen, you know. If he can start adding goals to his game, I think he's just going to be a player that could eventually either one become one of just the most famous players in Newcastle history or move on to a massive club for big money. The only worry at the minute is that he's doing all the right things, he just can't seem to finish. And when you've got him and Almiron both in the same boat, you know, someone's got to give soon. And you just hope that both of them can start firing and, you know, taking a bit of the weight off Joe Linton.
Well, hopefully they both get off the mark this weekend. But it's not the focus isn't just on them, Laurie, is it? Because you want to talk about a little bit the defence and how much that's pleasing you at the minute. Well, the defenders, shall I say.
Well, yeah, I mean, Aaron was saying it's been a massive thing on social media this week. And we've got sort of six options at centre-back, who none of which you would complain if you saw them starting at the weekend. You wouldn't necessarily think, oh, so-and-so's come in, that... You know, why is that happening because everyone else has been playing so well? There's, you know, like that's never ever happened in my memory as a Newcastle fan. Like, I know a lot of teams will say we have a bad defence, you can't rely on us defensively, but honestly, growing up as a Newcastle fan, we had so many liability defenders. Just so many. Nikos Davizas, John Allen, Boomsong, Titus Bramble, just take your pick, there's so many. And it's honestly a little bit surreal to have all these players who you really like feel like you could rely on as a last-ditch defender who's like in a one-on-one.
Yeah, to say that Lejeune, who's probably going to come back after the international break, and Cher might not get in the team is amazing. And that's, you know...
And Dummett.
And Dummett, yeah. Like, it's a testament, really, to how well Clark and Fernandes have played. And then Lascelles is just, you know, ticking away, very, very reliable. So it's interesting.
You've got these defenders. You've got a brilliant keeper. These players start scoring, the offence looks better than it is. How good can this team be? Where's the potential? Where is the ceiling for this team, genuinely, Aaron?
At the start of the season, you know, we all said, you know, Steve Bruce is going to be, you know, fighting relegation. But
if we take all of that away, though, forget the manager, forget everything that goes on, just the team itself.
I don't think you can forget the manager, though, because look at someone like Niko Kovac, for example, who's just been sacked by Bayern Munich. Before, when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt, the way he started getting them playing, he was getting players who were kind of mid to high level players to play at a really high level. And I think any sort of coach who had that mentality, who was invested in improving individual players and absolutely maximising the way that they'll play. Jetro Willems probably played in that side. So, you know, he's a good example of a player who's come in and improved somewhere in a position, in my opinion. He's been a really solid player, but what is Steve Bruce actually going to do for him as a coach? Because there's nothing in his history as a coach that it suggests that he can really cultivate players. Mm.
But on paper, where is this team, Laurie? On paper, how good can this team be?
Well, I'd say it's still a team that's fighting relegation.
I think there's a lot to be positive, though, especially when you look at that defence. You know, everybody said that Bruce has came in and he's never going to be able to get the same defensive record that Rafa did, because Rafa was so good at setting us up defensively. And that I think the defence has looked maybe not as steady, but very, very good this season. And they're chipping in with goals as they did last season. You've got to remember, none of these are like Van Dijk's that have came in for 75 million. Cher, 3 million. Fernandes, 6 million. Lascelles was him and Darlow for 8, I think. These are cheap players who are performing above their pay grade. If you then add that, you know, in with, you know, we've got solid midfielders who are, you know, Premier League players, you know, Hayden, Shelby, both, you know, fantastic Premier League players. Matty Longstaff looks like he will be in the years to come. Add that with the goals, if we can get the attackers playing. I think this team is something to get behind, and I think that there is positives there.
He needs to develop a system, and then he needs to be also flexible. So one thing I didn't like, and it's happened a couple of times against Wolves, we had an okay first half, and Wolves really played really badly. And then in the second half, they started growing into the game, and Bruce just let that develop. He didn't change the system. He should have tweaked that. He should have made a couple of changes. Maybe, you know, maybe gone more offensive and gone more counter attacking. And he lets things develop. And he's bold with his team selections, but when the game starts, he's not as bold as I'd like to see him with his substitutions and his on field stuff. So he needs to become more kind of tactically dexterous when he's playing teams who have different systems. So West Ham, we're going to play most of our games on the counter attack. I think that's fair to say. So he needs to have a system that lends itself to that. But also when the opportunity lends, like West Ham, they put out a back four with no pace. He needs to utilise Almiron. He needs to utilise St. Maximin. He needs to get Joe Linton occupying the centre halves, which he actually did very well. So if he just needs to be a bit more flexible with the system. And I definitely think there's something there. But the front three excites me.
Definitely something there. Positive on the field at the minute. Let's quickly talk about what happened off the field, because Neil Redfern has left his position as the under-23s manager. Aaron, what do we know about this at the minute?
Yeah, so Redfern's left this week. He's had a falling out with his assistant, who's apparently complained to the head of academy. He's obviously taken offence at that and walked. There's talk that maybe he was doing it so that he can go get the Barnsley job, but we don't know. Clearly he wasn't happy. But there was a big thing about, you know, Redfern and Dawson have clearly got different points of view when it comes to the academy. You know, Redfern wants it to all be, you know, about results, and he wants to obviously look, because, you know, Redfern's a manager who could be managing in the lower leagues, and he's obviously had championship jobs and stuff. He obviously wants it to be about results, and Dawson is maybe looking at it as he wants this to be like players, you know, getting players to grow and go into the first team. So maybe it just wasn't a good working relationship, but obviously Redfern's gone, and And yeah, we're not sure who's going to come in yet. But yeah, it's sad to see him go. And obviously, it doesn't paint the club in the best light. But yeah, that's what
Every time I've gone to the academy to watch games and stuff, it strikes me as a bit of jobs for the boys, academy coaching wise, which I don't like. Ben Dawson is a good person. He's a great person to have around the club. He was the under 23s manager who took us quite deep into the EFL Cup when we played Sunderland, and he's really honest with the players, and you know, he talked about having players come in and demand to go on loan, and he's going, well, where are you going to go? Why do you want to do that? Like, he challenges players. He's a good person, but we've lost Neil Redfern, who was a strange appointment. He came in temporarily to cover for Peter Beardsley when he was suspended. Then he got the job permanently. Now he's left because of a falling out with a younger coach, and we're looking for our fourth under 23 boss in 2 years. I think behind the scenes, especially at youth level, the club needs a root and branch clear out, and it's a bit of a mess there. And it's no real surprise that you're seeing players like Lewis Gibson going to Everton, and Louis Longstaff, who we lost at about 14, 15, no relation to the Longstaff brothers. He's gone to Liverpool. So there's that's parents and agents going, actually, it's not great there at the academy. I don't think that's a very good sign. So I'd like to see a bit more organisation and more people like Ben Dawson in there. And let's see who we appoint next under 23 boss, but we have to get it right, that's for sure.
Yeah, over the coming weeks, we can definitely dive into that a little bit and see what is going on behind the scenes with the under 23s. A man who will know more, maybe not about that, but about the team, of course it is Pete Graves, Sky Sports News presenter. He joins us next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell, a.k.a. Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine, Love Sport's Laurie Kellis, and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. We were just looking at that brilliant 3-2 victory, talking about the standout performers and how good was those 3 points away to West Ham in London. Newcastle have a happy hunting ground, and it is London at the minute. We were just talking about those special players and Neil Redfern leaving his position as the under 23 manager. All of that, a packed show. Well, it's just got better, because I'm delighted to say we are now joined by Pete Graves, Sky Sports News presenter, to talk everything where Newcastle are concerned. Pete, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. We know you're extremely busy. It's a real pleasure for us to have you on the show. 3 points on the weekend. Fantastic first half from Newcastle. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. You see, I'm a busy man, but obviously I'm driving from London to Newcastle, so I'm absolutely buzzing to be able to come on and talk about something. The only downside is I was actually listening to the show there and quite enjoying it, and then when the phone rang from you guys, I was like, I've got to stop listening to the show because I've got to go on it, but very enjoyable. So thanks for breaking up my journey. I thought they played brilliant on at the weekend. Created so many chances. I agree with what you guys were saying, really, largely all of you, about the team's potential and that front three, and I think the front three is very exciting. It just needs something to go for them. Miggy on the right hand side and Alan Sam Maximan on the left, bags of pace, creating chances. You want Joe Linton to get in and around the penalty box a little bit more. You know, I go to the game. I feel bad to say I go to the game. You're going to be accused of being a scab or whatever for going to the match these days, but I go to the match with my dad and my son, and sitting to watch Joe Linton, and I can see he's got an amazing first touch. He holds the ball up so well, but you just want him to get in there and just gamble a little bit and get into the box a little bit more, because they will create chances. And I truly believe that maybe not this season, but next season, if we can keep those three together, it could be really, really special. So yeah, I mean, I'm feeling quite positive. I could have come on tonight on the back of a defeat and I would have been down in the dumps, but on the back of that performance, even though I was nervous towards the end, but I just thought there were so many positives to take out of it, from right all the way from the keeper all the way to the striker. There's so many positives, you know.
Pete, it's Ketch here. I was just wondering, I believe Steve Bruce and Lee Charnley and Steve Nixon are having a recruitment meeting this week, and I was wondering, obviously, with your connections to the Sky Sports newsroom, do you expect Newcastle to be active in January, and if so, where might they be looking to strengthen?
Well, I've made this mistake before by you kind of go with your hunch sometimes, and you think that, you know, I think they might spend a bit here, and then if they don't, you get bags of grief for lying or something like that. So I mean, I'm always, you hear things about there's ambitions to sort of maybe improve in certain areas. I don't think, for once going into this window, and I know as supporters we all get really excited, but I don't think, I'm not looking at the team now and thinking, right, they need to spend in specific areas. I like the goalkeeper. As you guys were saying, I actually think our centre-backs are, we've never had so many good centre-backs at the club. It's incredible. You know, we've always had, you know, one or maybe two decent centre-backs. We've got six who are all, you know, of a similar standard. So we don't need to improve there. Some people would say maybe right-back and left-back, but I think Willems has done well when he's played. People talk about Yedlin on the right-hand side. You know, I think he's okay. He's got a lot of pace. His final product could be better. Midfield-wise, you've got the long staffs coming through. Shelby was brilliant at the weekend. He needed a performance like that. Hayden is Mr. Reliable. And then, of course, you've got the front three. If Carroll can stay fit, he puts Joe Linton under a bit of pressure. And I think when Carroll comes on towards the end of games, using him like that, it works well. So I'm not looking at it thinking, like, we need to spend money. Obviously, you want to add quality, but... I'm not sure. They'll be looking at it, and I'm sure Steve Bruce will have his own ideas. He's, you know, he'll want to bring in a couple of his own players. But I don't think we're going to see wild transfers. But it's just a hunch, and it's purely a guess. Who knows? Maybe they will. Maybe they'll go and sign another 40 million striker from Brazil. But I'd be very surprised.
I'll not tune in on deadline day then. If we're not doing any business, I'll put someone else on.
We've talked a lot about inconsistency on the show so far. And, you know, earlier in the season, we've had a few disappointing draws at home, Watford and Brighton. But we've never really capitulated apart from that horrific game away at Leicester. And I'm just wondering what you kind of, whether you're worried about the inconsistency, whether you think it's sort of the new players coming into the squad merging, or whether we need to be a little bit more worried about it. And if we do need to be worried about it, then is it Steve Bruce that's behind that, or the players not being drilled? What is behind the inconsistency of Newcastle's performances?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I think it's with Newcastle, it's not just this season. It's always that you can see the confidence drain out of the side sometimes on the field. I thought against Leicester, that game where we completely capitulated, we actually started the game okay. And I thought we're creating a few bits here. And then we went a goal down, and you know, cracking strike to go a goal down, and then there's the red card, and then it ends up being an absolute drubbing. And Leicester are a brilliant team, by the way, and I think they're going to do very, very well this season. Strong, strong chance of finishing in the top four under Brendan Rodgers. The Wolves game, disappointed to be a goal up. First half cruising, I thought, and then second half, you know, Wolves, who played midweek in Europe, I think, as well, just seemed to put us under too much pressure for a home game. I don't know. I think it's tactically sometimes Newcastle have made a mistake of going a goal. And Steve Bruce said after the Wolves game, to be fair to him, he said that he was disappointed that after being a goal up, that they sort of went back and sort of retreated a little bit. And I think that was maybe a sort of Rafa tactic, which he was very good at. They were very good at sitting on a lead. But against West Ham, they went a goal up, and rather than then sitting back, they sort of tried to score a second, tried to score a third. And it wasn't until late on that West Ham started coming back into the game. So I think a lot of it's that. And I think we've got to remember as well that it is a new manager, and there's still a lot of Rafa running through the team as well, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But the club's in transition, and I think that, you know, it's so far, you know, if you're going to give a report of the season so far, you'd give it a good 5 or 6, I would think, so far. I think there's been some promising signs and some disappointing bits, but I'm not totally doom and gloom. Whereas I think all of us as Newcastle fans, that the summer was really tough to see Rafa go first, and then Perez and Rondon, and players coming in that sort of you didn't know anything about. But I'm feeling more positive, I guess, at this stage than I thought I would have been.
Hi, Pete. I just want to ask you a bit about Bruce. Obviously, when he came in at the start of the season, the mood was very low, and, you know, you bore the brunt of that a bit on social media by trying, you know, stay positive. Now we're sort of, you know, 10 games into the season or so. How would you rate the start, and have you been surprised by how, you know, well Bruce has done so far?
I think, he's done pretty well. I think I'm just going to say at this point that any of my mates that know me, you know, I'm by very nature, I'm a positive person, and I drive my mates crackers because on the WhatsApp boards, I always see the positives. And that's not just in football, that's kind of in life generally. I've always been a bit like that. It's just my nature. And it doesn't bode very well to be a football person and have a positive outlook, because actually you get a lot more success by being really negative about things. And I think you come out and slaughter everybody, like fans like that, and they get on board. And I think most people are that way wired, but I'm just not that way wired. I'm quite a positive person. I get on with everybody, and I see the positives and the good in things. And I like to think that's a good thing to have about my nature, but it's not always good when you're talking about football. And I've learned that, you know, I'm trying to learn that over the years, to sometimes just keep my mouth shut. But I see some things, some of the negativity that was floating around. And what I wanted to do was just try and lift, if you can lift a few people. It was obviously a hard summer. We were all down on our knees with some of the things that were happening. And I sort of automatically was trying to look at some positives. And I do remember I was very fortunate, and I got to know Sir Bobby Robson very well. Towards the later stage of his life, me and my wife had dinner at his house, and I did a documentary on his life, which went out on radio. And he always spoke very highly about Steve Bruce, and I happened to mention this, and this was seen, because I mentioned this, it was seen as some kind of sacrilege that I was daring to sort of compare Steve Bruce to Bobby Robson, which I obviously wasn't doing, but I was just I sort of said. And I also mentioned the fact that Bruce is, you know, very good friends with Shearer, and the reason I did that was because I thought maybe this might be a chance to bring Shearer back into the club. And I'm a big believer that ex-players, the likes of Alan Shearer and Les Ferdinand and Rob Lee and all these people, they should be around the club more. You know, I do some stuff with Liverpool, with Manchester United. All the ex-players are all around the club. They're all ambassadors, and it's great. And I wish Newcastle was more like that. So that was the point I made about Bruce. And I've met Bruce a number of times from throughout his managerial career, working in local radio, and he's always been someone who has bags of time for young journalists like as myself when I was coming up through the ranks. And he'll do an interview with you, and he'll chat, and he'll be friendly. And so I've always liked him as a person. I think he's done pretty well. I hope the fans give him a chance. I know they're all still hurting, but I hope that they give him a get behind him. It's hard, the Man United game. I went with my little lad to the Man United game, and the ground was packed out, and there was a great atmosphere, and Newcastle got the 3 points, and it was just a glimmer of, this is brilliant, this is what we're all in it for. But then a couple of games I've been to since, there's been a lot of empty seats again, and I totally get it, I understand. But I just think as fans, we can be such a positive impact on the place. And I really hope that people who've fallen out of love with the club are able to find something about it that they love and able to go back to the game. Because for me it's sitting with my old man and my son and going to the matches, and that's my nirvana in a way. They're the days I'll remember on my deathbed, you know, when I'm thinking of being at the game with my son and my dad. And I understand fans, a lot of fans have sort of been put off over recent years, but I hope that they can come back and rejoin the journey, because you never know what's around the corner with that football club, do you?
Yeah, unbelievable. Pete, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Real pleasure for us to have you on the show, a highlight for us. Maybe we'll get you on at a later date in the season, and we can talk about another positive result for Newcastle and see how well they are getting on. Pete, drive safe, and we hope to speak to you soon. Pete Graves there, Sky Sports News presenter. What a genuine insight it was, and what a pleasure it was to have him on the show, just talking about maybe the season and the positive person he is, and how positive can this season be? How good can this team be? We mentioned it, we all had our own opinions on it. Well, we're hoping that the run of results continue, because it is Bournemouth on the weekend, and Peter Rutzler from The Athletic will be joining us.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, that's right. It is time for the opposition view. You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell from the BBC Match of the Day magazine, aka Ketch, Laurie Callis, and Aaron Stokes from the Daily Star Sport. It is time to talk about the game on the weekend. It is Bournemouth. Newcastle are in great form. So are Bournemouth, beating Man United 1-0 on the weekend. Who else done that? That's right, it was Newcastle, so we should be in for a real treat. And I'm delighted to say I'm now joined by Peter Rutzler, Bournemouth reporter for The Athletic. Peter, should be a cracker on the weekend. What do you make of it? How scared are you of Newcastle?
Evening, guys. Yeah, it should be a good game, actually. I'm really looking forward to it. Bournemouth have come through the United game and are now on a good trajectory and a good, decent patch of form. And I think that sets the game up quite nicely. Obviously, Newcastle got a really good result last week, as you guys have been talking about. And I think, you know what, Bournemouth are in a confident mood. And I don't think they will be that scared, to be honest. I mean, it's, you know, Bournemouth haven't conceded a goal for about 6 hours of football now, I think it is, which is very, very unusual for everyone associated with the club on the south coast. But yeah, I mean, it's just finding that attacking instinct again it will be the difference for them. But it's finally poised, I think.
Peter, to catch you, we're hearing that you've only the Bournemouth fans have only taken up 1,100 tickets and haven't sold those. Is Newcastle not a big game for Bournemouth? I know it's a long way now, but is the novelty of St James's Park worn off already?
Well, I think it is the distance. I mean, it is a really awkward one to get to. I think some fans will be flying up from Bristol, but that in itself can be 2 hours from Bournemouth. I'm driving up to London and getting the train. So I think it's just the journey, it's the issue. I wouldn't say the novelty's worn off. I think the fans, they're enjoying the journey. I think there's still a sense of still pinching yourself that they're still in the top flight, still competing and doing really well. And they're trying to soak it up as much as possible. But I think when you factor in the time it takes, the cost, I think it just sort of adds up, which is probably why they haven't taken up.
The level 7 stairs as well. There's a lot of stairs to climb to get up to that way end. Maybe they're scared of that. I don't know.
You talked about pinching yourself about still being in the Premier League. I'm quite used to Bournemouth being in the Premier League now, which is odd. But one thing that I always find incredible is how long you've kept both Josh King and Callum Wilson for, who both seem to be really solid Premier League strikers with guaranteed goals. But someone else, we'll probably see Callum Wilson again in the England squad tomorrow. Someone else I wanted to ask you about was a player that we missed out on in the summer, Harry Wilson, because it was a player that we were supposedly circling around, close to signing. You hear this so much with Newcastle, and obviously he's ultimately chosen Bournemouth. What have you made of him coming into the side, and is he going to cause us a few problems at the weekend?
Yeah, I'd agree, especially with Callum and Josh. I mean, they do offer goals. I think for Callum Wilson, it was just a case of, you know, proving that he can keep doing it after his injuries, and he has done. And he's sort of in his prime now, and so is Josh King. So I think a lot with Bournemouth, they do sort of fly under the radar. But in terms of Harry Wilson, yeah, I mean, I think Harry Wilson coming to Bournemouth is a good fit. Eddie Howe is known for working closely with players, always trying to improve them. They've got a really young squad. I think he knows Chris Meppham really well, and David Brooks, both Welsh internationals alongside him. So that sort of fitted and suited him a bit better, perhaps. He's come in and done well. I mean, the free kick he scored against City was fantastic, and that sort of clouded everyone's perceptions of him. And he has scored a couple of goals. He went a bit quiet, sort of faded, his influence sort of faded in matches. And you started to wonder whether, you know, he might be better off playing centrally rather than out wide. I think he was dropped for the game at Watford. But he came back in on the weekend, and it was one of his best performances. And I think it's just that adaptation. You know, it is a step up to the Premier League. He was playing Championship football last year. Also adjusting to the way Bournemouth play. They are very direct. I know we always like to think of Bournemouth as playing, you know, with the ball on the deck, attractive, slow build-up, but that's not really how they play at all. So in that regard, he's adapting very well. And I think the best is yet to come with him. Of course, his left foot is fantastic, and whenever he gets a free kick, there's always sort of a murmur and a sense of expectation. But yeah, he's adapted well, and the fact that he's played so many games already, I mean, he's got some stiff competition out there. There's Arnaud Danjuma, who was signed for $13 million in the summer. David Brooks is coming back from injury as well, and Fraser has been hot and cold. So there's definitely competition for him, and he's done pretty well so far. And I think, as I said, there's more to come from him.
We've talked earlier in the show about Leicester and West Ham, and, you know, they're always the type of clubs that are sort of, you know, linked with, you know, breaking the top six. What do you think Bournemouth's aspirations are this season, and can they be one of those clubs that can sort of, you know, take advantage of Arsenal and Spurs and Manchester United, you know, faltering this season? Because it always seems like they just sort of go under the radar under Eddie Howe, despite being, you know, a proven Premier League team these days.
Yeah, it's a funny one, that. I mean, a lot of the press have been trying to ask Eddie Howe every week, you know, sort of saying, can you do it? Can you break the top six or like the top eight? And he doesn't like to, you know, come out and say anything explicitly like that. He always talks in terms of, you know, being ambitious, going one better, always improving. That's sort of the ethos of the club. I think the last few seasons, there's almost been a sense of stasis. You know, we haven't really seen a much progression other than the makeup of the squad. And I think coming into this year, the squad is, you know, it's definitely the strongest Bournemouth have had. There's potential in all areas. There's options in all areas. There is no area where you would say there is a weakness. I think they've been helped by the fact that Aaron Ramsdale's come in and really taken off. And obviously they have Mark Travers in reserve as well. So that area was maybe a concern, but not anymore. And when you look at the squad compared to recent seasons, you would say, you know, there's potential here. But whether you could say, oh, absolutely, they can break the top six, I don't know. I think it'd be too soon. But the thing is with Bournemouth, they've sort of readjusted themselves. You know, they've come up to the Premier League. They've slowly rebuilt their squad with the future in mind. And now it's a case of, right, can we push on? Can we maximise the potential of the players we've got? And, you know, there are some fantastic players in there. You mentioned Callum Wilson, Josh King before. We haven't seen the best of Fraser this season, but we've certainly seen the best of the likes of Nathan Ake, who just looks fantastic. You know, he really is a Rolls-Royce of a defender. And you just feel like, because they're all so young, I mean, the youngest average starting 11 of any Premier League side this season so far. I'm getting the words out. And that kind of reflects the trajectory that they're on and the direction they want to go. So there is certainly a case of, right, the potential's there. It's a case of, one, keeping them together, two, coaching them and developing them, which Eddie Howe loves to do and his coaching staff. And then, you know, we'll see where it takes them. But, you know, with those top clubs all faltering, there is an opportunity there. And as long as Bournemouth are in the mix, you know, with an outside shot, then you wouldn't bet against them, I'd say.
Well, it's one win in five, Peter, but that was against Man United and it was the most recent fixture. What is your score prediction?
It's a tough one. I think, as you were saying, I mean, Newcastle defensively look very, very solid. I mean, they have been under Rafa Benitez, and as you guys will all know. So I think this is all a bit new for Bournemouth, and it's just a case of trying to find out where those goals are going to come from again, trying to find that spark. I mean, Josh King's goal was fantastic on the weekend, but there's still that sense of, you know, there needs to be another level. So score prediction, I'm going to go 1-1.
Oh, you're sitting on the fence there, Peter. 1-1. Really nice to talk to you, though. Real pleasure for us. Peter Rutzler there, Bournemouth reporter for The Athletic. I have to turn my attentions very quickly to you for in the studio. He was sitting on the fence 1-1. Aaron mentioned it earlier, 7 points from those last three games. Ketch, what is your prediction?
Well, I think I'd be influenced by the positivity of Pete
Come
Graves.
On!
I'm going to go 1-0, Newcastle, Almiron's first goal.
Oh, love it. Laurie?
How about a 2-0 with a Sam Maximan goal as well?
Yes! The positivity breeds, Aaron.
I'm thinking 3-0, Almiron, St Maximan, Joe Linton.
Oh, there you go. I'm thinking 4-0.
Andy Carroll.
Yeah. Dwight Gale. No, we're hoping for a Newcastle win on the weekend. Just very quickly, because we didn't touch upon it, but Sean Wade has been re-elected. Our very own Sean Wade has been re-elected to the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. Sean, well done on that. He's genuine. Congratulations there, and I can't wait to have you back in the studio next week so we can talk about it. This has been the Newcastle Fan Show. Join us every Wednesday, 7-8. Come on, Newcastle, on the weekend. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.